go back to Krishna. And we heard about practicing that remembrance of Krishna in conjunction with the Ashtanga Yoga system or Shatchakra Yoga system, by which one pulls the prana up to the top of the head and leaves the body at the time of his own choosing. And now, Krishna was just about to explain we were talking about Lord Brahma and his exceedingly long days and nights. This is a very 18 and 19 are interesting from the point of view of editors, because in the original Bhagavad Gita, as it is, they were reversed. Or not reversed. Text 19, I think, became text 18, and no, the purport to 19, the purport was in the wrong, it was all reversed. There was actually no, one of the texts was missing and one of the texts was translated twice. That's what it was. One of the translations was missing entirely and one was doubled. There were two different translations, but they were both translations of the same verse. And one verse was missing. Was untranslated, therefore. It was pretty wild.
The Macmillan,
yeah, the old one. One of the more spectacular errors. One verse was
Climbing to the trees.
Yeah, that was. That was pretty far out.
The bridge one.
The original bridged one was probably okay. No, I think maybe the same mistake was in the abridged one, but the unabridged old Bhagavad Gita from Macmillan, one verse was untranslated and one verse was presented with two different translations. So that covered the two verses. But it was wrong. And maybe on top of that, the purport was with the wrong verse. I think that also was there just as icing on the cake. I could look it up, but we're kind of not going into the spectacular details because we're all, up to here with it. Okay. So we heard about Brahma's day. Our lifetime is like a blinking of his eye, if that. Now, avyakta advyaktaya sarva prabhavanti yahara agame ratri agame praliyante tatrai vavyakta sangit. Sangyake. Avyakta, from the unmanifest situation, vyaktaya sarva prabhavanti aha agame. At the beginning of Lord Brahma's day, all the living entities, sarva, come from the unmanifest state into the manifest state. They're all compact within the body of Mahavishnu, and at the beginning of Brahma's day, they all come out. Is that right? That's right. And Ratri Agame, at the beginning of the night, Praliyante, they're all annihilated. Tatra Eva of Yukta Sangake, and they all go back to the unmanifest state. We read that in this second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Vyakta adini bhutani, vyakta madhyani bharata, avyakta nidananyeva, tatraka paridevana. All living entities are unmanifest, then they're manifest, then they're unmanifest again. We're unmanifest before birth, then we're born, we're manifest for some time. Then we die, we're out of the picture again. That happens on our individual the individual level, microcosmic level of our lifetime. It also happens in the larger cycle. Everybody's coming and going and birth and death, and then the whole thing is annihilated, all the living entities are absorbed again, and then they all come out again. Clear? Yes.
Can you please explain this in relationship to the, you know, Shirodaksha, Vishnu, Garbhodaksha, Krishna, Karnadaksha?
Yes. The they have their breath, which is Brahma's whole lifetime.
Which one?
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah, because the universe is manifest when Lord Vishnu breathes out, Mahavishnu, and then that means Garbhodakshay Vishnu is there filling half the universe, or fill, yes, with his perspiration.
He goes into each universe, right.
Yeah, and then the Kshirodakshay Vishnu, he's also there.
Yeah.
So they last, they're manifest for the whole duration of the universe. But this is only one day.
So then the, is it the one in the each universe? When he breathes in, then the living entities go into that?
No. Mahavishnu is breathing.
Yeah.
And the, but now in this unmanifest state, where do they go?
Yeah, where do they go?
Garbhodakshay Vishnu or Mahavishnu?
Because he breathes in other universes when they come in with the universes.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to think what unmanifest state they go into.
Yeah, that's my question.
I'm trying to remember. Where they go during the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. We're just trying to remember which Vishnu.
Vishnu.
Seems to me it's Mahavishnu rather than Garbhodakshay Vishnu. But it could be.
Brahma's night.
Yeah.
Garbhodakshay Vishnu is still there, so why should they go further?
Well, that's a practical consideration, you know, why go so far, you know. Like, if you want to see sunshine, why do you have to go all the way to Miami when, you know, we're here? And so that's practical, yeah. But whether that actually describes the situation. Frankly, I forget which body they go into.
We'll put that on the shelf.
Well, put in the car park. Who's going to research it? Someone want to look into this question of which Vishnu? Yeah, you can ask. Okay, you're appointed. You can ask Suhotra Maharaj. Find out. You know, we really want to know where we're going at the end of the day. So.
We don't want to go there.
When we go
there, like this trip, we're up at the end of the day.
Okay, so this is all happening, and yes.
It means at the end of the day, the whole universe.
No, not exactly the whole universe, but everybody down here. This is described in the third canto. There's a devastation. This is called partial devastation. At the end of Brahma's day, then it's night. Just like at night here, you know, so much happens. You know, it's like plunged into darkness. But we keep going, you know, we have our electricity. But some living entities, you know, at the end of the day, they're dead, that's it. You know, they just live for a day. Or some living entities, they just live for a night, and that's it. But then others live longer. So the sages and so on the upper planets, they stay around. But on the middle planets here and downward, everything's wiped out. It gets hot down here and everything's wiped out. And then next day, things start up again. That's all described in third canto in brief, these cycles of creation and destruction, how they're going on. Okay. Bhutagrama sa evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratri agame vasha avasha partha prabhavati ahar agame. So, bhutva bhutva praliyate. All these living entities, bhutagrama, they're manifest again and again and destroyed again and again. Destroyed means not that they themselves are, but their corporal existence is finished. come into being means they come on the scene, not that they're created and destroyed. But it says their bodies remain compact in the body of Vishnu, but it doesn't say which Vishnu, does it? No, it doesn't. So bhutva, bhutva, again and again, manifest, and praliyate, again and again, destroyed. Avasha means helplessly. You know, you see how the ocean waves, they're going out, they're coming in, they're going out, they're coming in, and the little things that are floating, they can't say, well, I'm gonna go against the current. You know, it's just you know, the waves go out and everything's going one way, the waves come in, everything's coming another way. And avasha. Anyone here ever been like in a strong undertow in the waves? Yeah, you know? You just, if you go in the waves and it's really pulling, then you can't fight. Avasha, helpless. So that's our position in the whole material world. Avasha. We're all helpless. Everything is being manifest and unmanifest. It's beyond our control. Avasha. We've met that word several times. Vasha and avasha. Vash means control. So avasha, no control over the matter. We're manifest and unmanifest, manifest and unmanifest. Ratri agame. At the end of the... when the night comes, everything's finished. The day comes, everything appears again. And then we know that at the end of Brahma's life, then the whole thing is completely wrapped up. Sages, that we don't care who you are, everybody's merged into the body of Mahavishnu for an equal period of time, period equal to Brahma's whole lifetime. 4,300,000 times 1,000 times 2 times 12 times 30 times 100 solar years. And then they come out again.
Souls in the body of Vishnu, they are like in dormant state?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not, you know, doing things in there. They're just... they're in deep sleep.
Yeah, thank you.
Nothing happens. Parastasmat tu bhavo anya vyakto vyaktat sanatana yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nasyatsu na vinashyati. But above that, parastasmat, from there, still higher, transcendental, to this nature where everything, bhava means everything's coming into existence and being destroyed. Anya, there's another nature which is also, which is avyakto avyaktat. It's beyond the manifest and unmanifest matter. Sanatana. It's permanent, it's eternal. Yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu. When everything here is finished, na vinashyati, that part remains as it is. Now this is elementary, actually, for the devotees in Krishna consciousness. We know the material world is coming and going, and the spiritual sky is permanently existing. But this is revolutionary knowledge, really. Most people are living their lives. They're hardly conscious that things here are temporary, and they hardly can imagine the eternal world. But it's mentioned here. Now it's further described. Avyakto akshara ityuktas tamahu paramam gatim. Yam prapya nani vartante tad dhamma paramam mama. Avyakta akshara iti ukta. Iti means in quotes again. So this is what's said about it. avyakta and akshara. It's unmanifested and infallible, and it's also said that this is the supreme of destination, paramam gatim. Yam prapya na nivartante, having attained which, one never returns. Tad dhamma paramam. Krishna says, that's my abode. Mam upetya punar janma tukaliyam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanamha sangsiddhim paramam gata. Having attained the abode of the Lord, one never comes back, and here that's again said. Yam prapya nanivartante, attaining that spiritual world, one never has to return to the material world. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a very beautiful poetic description of Goloka Vrindavan, that spiritual abode of Krishna. Any questions so far? Yes.
What do we understand by avyakta here?
Avyakta means unmanifest. Can you see Goloka Vrindavan?
Yeah, I can't see, but it is here.
Can you see it?
No.
Then is it manifest?
What is the meaning of manifest?
Manifest
four
means
eyes.
You can see it. Manifest, I don't even know what the root is. Somebody with a dictionary could say. But manifest means that it's visible.
To make visible.
Yeah, that is visible. Like the, and then manifest before him was, you know, it means it's there. You can see it. And then the whole scene became unmanifested again. Means disappeared. So manifested, or you read one of these spy novels, you know, and then manifest from the shadows. So he's there in the shadows, but he comes out where you can see him. And he went, returned to the shadows and was no longer manifest. So the spiritual world is there, but it's not manifest to our material vision. Fantastic.
He's in samadhi.
The world's become very weird. Everybody's walking around talking to themselves.
The personal lives have become public knowledge.
That also.
Bhakti yoga.
Okay, yes?
At the end of Brahma's day, why am I living in this merging to body of
whichever Vishnu?
Do they lose that material body first?
Oh, yeah, you don't take it with you. Yeah, they're, but their subtle body stays.
Mine?
Yeah. Otherwise, how do they come out again in their respective bodies? So of course, karma is still more subtle, but they take their pious and sinful, you know, record with them. You know, like in these totalitarian states, you always have to have your whole, you know, all the records with you, or they've got your records. So your record is not destroyed. Everybody knows the story, what you did, you know, and where you stand, what your bank balance is. So your credit and debit of pious activities and impious activities goes with you, and the subtle mind with all of its desires. It's like sleeping. You go to sleep.
Hello?
You go to sleep, and you wake up the next morning, you still have the same set of desires. I was desiring to, you know, go to Calcutta before I took rest. And it's not that when I wake up, well, that's it. I was never interested in going to Calcutta. No. The same desire is there. The same memories are there. It's not like you wake up and, who am I? What am I doing here? Where am I? What language do I speak? Yeah. You wake up and it's all there. It's just blacked out for 5 or 6 hours. So that's how it is with the living entities. They're merged in the body of Mahavishnu, but their individuality continues. Their subtle bodies are still there. Their misidentification with matter continues. And that, therefore they come out again, all in their different bodies.
Same bodies.
No. But where they left off, just like when you die, you don't come back in the same body, but in the next one, you know, the one that that the number that comes up next, that's what you get. So that's what happens to them. It's just, instead of, you know, being out of the picture for, say, 9 months or so, they're out of the picture for 4,300,000 times 1,000 times, and so on.
So, quote unquote, everybody dies first, quote unquote.
Oh yeah, yeah, there's a big fire.
Okay.
No one survives that one. There's floods, there's fires, there's at the end of that, nobody's left.
Markandeya Rishi.
Yeah, well that was also that was just a show.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it a bit like merging into the Brahman? Like
no. A little bit in the sense that even in the Brahman, those who are merged, they still have their individuality, but their subtle bodies and so on, they're not there. You can't go into Brahmajyoti with your gross or subtle body. But their individuality still exists, and it's kind of in limbo because they're not using their individuality, not expressing their individuality. Their individuality is suppressed or stifled artificially. So then they, you know, what do you do with that? Well, they fall down again. Okay, yes?
Something that's eternal, something that is eternal, does it mean that it doesn't change?
If something's eternal, does it mean that it doesn't change? Yes, it does.
But at the same time, in the spiritual world, because of the yoga maya, things do change. Because of yoga maya, things do change. Right?
They do change, but they don't change.
Okay.
It's not within the realm of material. In this sense, that whatever is there is always there. This is very weird, because here there's past, present, and future. What happened last week is no longer exists. It's just a, you know, maybe you can watch the video of it, but it's over. Even what's happening now, you know, in a minute it's gone. In that sense, whatever we're doing doesn't exist. It's all called non-existent because it's not substantial, like a dream. You know, your throne exists, the people in your court exist, your palace exists, it all exists until you wake up and then it's all gone. In that sense, you could say, well, it never really existed. Because it's just existed for, boom, a moment, a little bubble. And it was never really yours. You never really had a palace. You never really had a throne. Our present existence is like that. Now I'm the king of the world. The next moment I'm a dog. What was the meaning of I was the king of the world? It has no substantial existence. It has no substantial existence. We say it exists, it's solid, but actually it has no substantial existence. It's there, but it's there just for a moment in time. And that moment, you know, it's like Brahma blinked and we missed the whole thing. So how substantial is that? But in Goloka Vrindavan, whatever's happening is always happening, even if there's an apparent sequence. Even if there's an apparent sequence, first this, then that, then this, then that,
yeah.
Whatever's happening, all of the elements are always happening.
It's permanent.
Yeah.
We're seeking for this permanent. we're seeking for this permanent,
yeah,
nature.
And everything that's happening there at all times is always happening, even if there's sequence. That's not computable.
Yeah.
We're not going to figure that out. But even we can figure that when Krishna performs his pastimes in the material world, when he, just when he's appearing here, he's disappearing from the previous place. When he disappears from this universe, he's already on, you know, already starting to appear in the next. So all the things that are happening here are all happening someplace else. Like the sun, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning here is gone, but as soon as 8 o'clock is gone here, it starts to become 8 o'clock, you know, a little bit west, then next thing it's a little bit west of that, a little bit west, so there's always 8 o'clock going on somewhere. There's also 8:01 going on somewhere, 8:02, 8:03, 8:04, it's all going on at once. But the sun is, you know, not doing anything, but it's always there. Always in all of these different circumstances. So Krishna's like that. His path, everything he's doing it all at the same time. And he's doing it all forever. Even in this material world, as long as this world exists, he's doing all the things at once. Someplace he's killing Putana witch, someplace he's dancing with the gopis, someplace he's the king in Mathura. Or some places in Mathura, sometimes Dwarka. And in the spiritual world, he's always there. This is all, and we can't even figure out what's going on within the universe of Brahma. And even Brahma can't figure out what's going on with Krishna. So we just have to pick up as much as we can. Yes?
There's this pastime of Krishna when he appears in Mathura. Is it also happening in Goloka Vrindavan?
That Krishna's appearing in Mathura in Goloka Vrindavan?
In Goloka plants in the spiritual world.
There are no appearance pastimes in the spiritual world. That's displayed to keep pace with the material world. The material world, no one just pops into vision. So Krishna keeps pace with the local customs and appears to take birth.
So there's no baby Krishna?
No, she's always Krishna's mother, and there are always pastimes, but not these baby pastimes are not there. Therefore, from one point of view, the Vrindavan on earth is even more sweet than the Vrindavan in the spiritual world. From one point of view. Another point of view, there's no difference. Yeah?
And from one point of view, we could say that it's eternal in the sense that it's always going on somewhere in the material world.
Shall we move on? Purushasap, yes.
Even demigods merge into the Mahavishnu.
Yep.
All the, like
everybody.
It is said
the whole world is burnt to cinders. There's no room for demigods anymore. Purushasa para partha bhaktya labhyas tvananyaya yas yantak sthani bhutani yena sarvam idam tatam. Now, Krishna's speaking again in third person. He's talked about Paramam Purusham Divyam, the supreme transcendental person. Now again he says, Purusha Sa Para Partha Bhaktya Labhyas Tvananyaya. That supreme person is achievable by ananyaya bhakti. Ananya bhakti means no other thing is in it. Anya means something else. Ananya, there's nothing else in it. No karma, no gyan, jnana karma jnanavritam, pure devotional service. By that pure devotional service, labhya means achievable. The Lord is achievable by pure devotional service. Yasya antakstani bhutani and yena sarvam idam tatam. He's within everything and everything is within him. Andantarasta paramanu chayantaras. This is Krishna. We discussed yesterday. He's big, greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest. So he's within everything and everything is within him. Or everything is within him and he's everywhere. Everything is within him, he's within everything. That's Krishna. Yes, yantakstani bhutani yena sarvamidam tatam. That's Krishna. All right? Yatra kale tunavrittim avrittim chayava yoganaha priyata yanti tam kalam bhakshami bharatarshava. Now Krishna is going to go into a discussion of the time for leaving the body. The yoga system, as we discussed, is a mechanical system, and you've got to do it right. You have to leave this body at the suitable time. You have to leave the body at the suitable time. Just as when they launch these satellites and so on from Florida, you know, sometimes they cancel the launch because it's an unsuitable, you know, circumstance. Everything has to be just right. Otherwise, problems. So the yogis have to leave the body at the right time. Some times are favorable, some times are unfavorable. Just like, you know, when we fly, we don't like these overnight flights. You know, so-called red-eye flights. You know you're going to have nothing you can do about it. It's going to be miserable. Take a nice morning flight and it's happy. Simply a question of the material circumstances. But here it's not just a question of comfort, it's a question of your destination. You leave at the right time, it's very good. You leave at the wrong time, too bad. So now we're going to get a discussion of the particular times when the yogis will attain perfection or not attain perfection. It's a mechanical system. You've got to get this life air going up through the top of the skull, bursting out. You burst out at the wrong time, you don't get it. And we'll find out what their destinations are. Agnir Jyotir Aha Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gachanti Brahma Brahma Vidojana. Brahma Vida means those who know the Absolute. They say these are the times when one attains the Absolute, Gachanti, when one goes to the Supreme. Agni Jyoti Aha Shukla. During the time of the fire, the light, the day, and the fortnight of the moon, that fortnight means the month, you know, is divided into two sections. They're called Shukla Paksha?
Krishna Paksha.
And Krishna Paksha. So the dark and the light. The light means now the waxing moon. The moon has just appeared and is getting bigger, 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 bigger. That's the fortnight of the waxing moon. And the other way, waning moon. Waning moon. So the auspicious time to leave is during the Shukla Paksha, the half of the month when the moon is increasing, Shukla Paksha. And then there are other times mentioned here when the particular demigods are presiding, the demigod of fire, the demigod of the day, the demigod, in this way. And Shanmasa Uttarayanam. Uttarayana means when the sun is moving in the northern course. And Dakshinayana is the opposite. You The sun, according to Vedic astronomy, is moving. That's also relative. If you stand in a particular place, just like we were discussing, you stand on the platform next to a moving train, the train is moving. If you stand in another train that's moving at the same speed, the train isn't moving. If you see that train from another train that's moving at a right angle to it, its motion appears different. If you're coming down on the train, it's different. The train is getting bigger. You move away, it's getting smaller. So everything is relative. It's not just that things are... So in this way, in any case, we understand that the sun is moving in a big orbit, Kala Chakra, the orbit of the sun. That's described in the Brahma Sanghita. Yat Chakshuresha Savita Sakala Grahana Rajasthamastishiramurthir. Well, this is Kala Chakra.
Noisy here today.
The big circle of time, because we measure time by the movements of the sun, a year. Simply the time it takes from the sun to go from here to there. So in the fifth canto, the movements of the sun are described, and specifically 6 months when the sun is in the north, 6 months when the sun is in the south. That's Uttarayana and Dakshinayana. And I've forgotten even all the particular dates, but there's the summer solstice and the winter solstice and all of these things. There's a nice little chart in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that shows you all these different features. They're actually elementary for anyone who's studying, who knows astronomy or astrology. These times when the sun is moving in the north, moving in the south. Uttarayana. So if you leave during the Uttarayana, or during the waxing moon, or during the influence of the day, or the fire, then you're fine. Then you attain the supreme. Dhumo ratris tata krishna shanmasa dakshinayanam tatra chandramasam jyotir yogi prapya nivartate. Now, if you leave during the time of the smoke, or the night, or Krishna Paksha, during the fortnight, the 2 weeks when the moon is, Hare Krishna, going, is waning, hello, Hare Krishna,
sorry,
that's okay, it's the night of Brahma. If you leave during the 6 months, the 2 weeks when the sun is, when the moon is waning, or the 6 months when the sun is in the south, then Chandramasam, one attains the moon. One attains the moon. The yogis still, they get something, but what they get is just the moon. They get to go to the heavenly planets and whatever's there. The karmis are trying to go to the moon. They want to go to the moon and enjoy life on the moon. The yogis, that's the destination for the losers among the yogis. That's the destination for the losers. Chandramasam, they go to the moon, and then finally they come back down to earth. That's the situation. Yes?
It looks like that it's not necessary all these conditions to be at one and the same time. Because if you said before, or during the
Well, I don't know quite the the technicalities of it. I'm not quite sure whether it's a, what do they call that, you know, the computer terminology where Boolean operators, and or, you know, like when you do a Google search, if it's and, you get one thing, if it's or, you get something else. So I'm not quite sure if this is an and or an or.
I was wondering why no other places there is comma, but
you can't tell from the editing here. You can't really try to conclude from that. You won't get it right. There's no cha here. Let's see if Vishnath says anything about it. About whether it's cumulative or...
like this period of relaxing inside the opposite one. This like Krishna thing. That's every month.
Once it goes and then it goes back.
Every month. There's also a thing for 6 months.
It doesn't say. Vishnath doesn't say. Let's see if there's something here. Not said here either. I don't know whether you have to have all the conditions or some of the conditions to either make it or blow it. But as we'll find out in a coming verse, we're not going to worry about that. Shukla Krishna Gati Hiete Jagata Shashvate Mate Ekaya Yatyanavritim Anyayavartate Puna. Here Krishna summarizes it. That there are two paths, the path of light and the path of darkness. If you leave during the path of light, then you attain the supreme, you don't come back, anavriti, no coming back. And on the other hand, if you leave during the dark time, then you come back. Okay? Clear enough? Yes?
Does that mean that every living entity which disappears from this during the...
No. These are the yogis who are trying to follow this system. Otherwise, you know, half the people die during the, you know, the bright, during the waxing moon. It's not like, wow, you know, just wait a week more and I can go back to Godhead because I'll die on Tuesday. No. But the yogis who are practicing everything else, this is the final condition that they have to leave at the right time. Time is very important. What do they say? Timing is everything. Mm-hmm. You know, like in marketing, you've got all these great plans, you've got a great product, you've got great advertisements, you've got, you know, everything is lined up, and you miss Christmas. You know, so there's a product delay. And, you know, the Christmas season passes and then you're, you know, you blew it because the time was wrong. You'll sell something, but, you know, most of the shopping was done before you released your product. So the timing was crucial. If you don't get the timing right, it's great. You made all your plans. You had a fantastic product. You had all your salesmen lined up. Pricing was right. You'd done your customer research, everything's first class, but the time was wrong. What happens? So it's a similar thing here. You did all your preparation, you did your pranayama, you did your, you know, you went to the Himalayas, you sat in the right place, your body in the right position, you pulled all those things up through the prana up through the chakras, you closed the doors of your senses, you didn't get distracted by anything. You did everything right, and then you left at the wrong time. Too bad. Naite Sriti Parthajanan Yogi Muyati Kaschana Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukto Bhavarjana. Here, Krishna says that the devotee knows about these two paths, but he's not worried about them. He's not worried about them. He's not concerned. Why? That's described now. Vedeshu yageshu tapashu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam atyeti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthanam upayati chaja. There are so many results that one can get by Vedic study, by performing sacrifices, by tapasya, by charity, by so many pious activities. But if one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, atyeti tarvam tat sarvam idam viditva. He knows about all these, but he goes beyond them. Atyeti, he surpasses them. Yogi param sthanam upaiti cha adyam. And he goes back to the original supreme abode. Clear? He surpasses all of them. These are small things. What you get from the Vedas means you can go to the heavenly planets, you can drink somaras, you can... so many things you can get. Nigama kal paturo, the desire tree, whatever you want. Yajna, whatever you could get by performing yajnas. What is it? It's small stuff. Compared to going back to Godhead, it's nothing. He may get them or he may not get them. He gets better. He gets better. He surpasses. You don't have to worry about whether he gets 25 rupees or 50 rupees. He just got 100,000 rupees. Got a lakh. You don't have to worry about whether or not, you know, your 25 rupee or 50 rupee desires were fulfilled. It's all included. Loud, loud.
The yogi leaves his body, he lives in the dark universe, he comes back in his life, he doesn't come back.
Could you speak double loud?
How does the yogi know when to leave?
He has to be expert. The yogi, of course, they all, you know, anybody, any yogi can look and say, whoa, Uttarayana is not for another 2 weeks.
Oh, you can.
We all know when Uttarayana is. You can look in the calendar and see when Uttarayana is.
Yogis in the mountain, that's what I mean.
No, you can, but they can know.
The sun and
the moon. If you're a yogi, you're capable. And as far as the bright fortnight, the waning and waxing moon, not anyone experienced person can understand. Yogis are very powerful. They can create a planet. They can do so. They're supposed to know these things.
The time of their death and how to prolong.
Yeah, knowing is one thing and leaving at the right time, you know, just like we know that the train is leaving at 4 o'clock, but getting there at 4 o'clock, that's another thing. You know, we booked our car at the right time, but then the driver didn't show up, then he showed up, but there was some disturbance on the road, and things, we were all held up at, you know, someplace along the way. Or the car broke down and he didn't have a spare tire and this and that and the other thing. So you make your plan, you know when it is, you know when you have to be there. Sometimes you don't make it. It happens. And you miss the train. The yogis who practice very perfectly, they can go. But the yogis who don't get the right time have to come back. But the devotees who are unbewildered, who know everything, but remain fixed in unalloyed devotional service, they go back to Godhead and they never come back. Yam prapya nani vartante tad dhamma padamam nama. Yes?
He also explains it like first you get all these things and then you go to the Supreme Godhead.
Does Prabhupada say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. Where's that?
By saying out the order of the Dharma, very hard for the life, Manapasta, Fanya Sannyas, one becomes elevated to the perfectional stage of life. Some are then elevated to the heavenly kingdoms. When they become even more advanced, they are liberated in the spiritual sky, either in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti or in the Vaikuntha planets, or Krishna Loka.
Yeah, what? Yeah. So that's the gradual path by following the Varnashram Dharma and gradually elevated. But a person who's chanting Hare Krishna, a person who's engaged in pure devotional service, he's gone beyond all that. Just like if you have a PhD. Have you graduated high school? Doesn't even matter if you graduated high school. If you have a PhD, high school's included. Sometimes that happens, someone doesn't even go to high school or he doesn't finish high school. And he's still admitted to the university and gets a PhD. That's understood. He's done that. Sometimes, you know, by a person's work experience or, you know, professional, these people who go for a degree late in life, they look at your resume and say, oh, you don't have to go, you know, for remedial reading when you've been a journalist for the last 10 years, last 20 years, you know, your reading credentials are already established. Why? Because you're a journalist. So we admit you to the PhD program, and it doesn't matter whether you got a high school diploma or not, because you have a PhD. If someone introduced, though, this is Dr. such and such, no one asks, excuse me, do you have a high school diploma? Doesn't matter, he's a PhD, he's got everything. So one who goes back to Godhead, one who attains Krishna, excuse me, did you get to spend your time in the heavenly planets? Were you married? You were married and you went, but did you ever fully study the Vedic literature? You know, in Goloka Vrindavan, they don't ask you, if you fully studied the Vedic literature? It's understood. If you're there, you've studied everything. Aho bhata svapacho to guriyan yaj jiva gre vartate namatubhyam tapastepus, what is that?
I can follow.
How glorious is the holy name that anyone who's got the holy name on his tongue, he's already done everything. He's bathed in all the holy places. He's visited all the pilgrimages. They're just like Prabhupada. We never ask, well, Prabhupada, did you...
Bhakti Shastri.
Yeah, did you do your Bhakti Shastri? Exactly, you know. Did Prabhupada give, you know, I don't know if I should accept him as my spiritual master, because I don't know if he gave cows and charity to the Brahmins. You know, he did all that. He's, you know, way past that. We don't ask about that. You know, I've got triple PhD. We don't ask, you know, did you attend elementary school? Okay. Yes.
What are these 15 verses of this chapter?
Yes.
After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world?
Yes.
Does it mean that when this yogi return back to Krishna's abode, he don't have any more choice to come back?
You have choice, but you don't just use it. Everyone has tiny independence. The problem is that we're misusing our tiny independence. The difference between the conditioned souls and the liberated souls is that the liberated souls don't misuse their independence. And we do. It's not that they don't have it, but they don't use it wrongly. Prabhupada gave the example, just like a brahmacharya or sannyasi, they have the ability to have sex. You know, there's no physical reason why a brahmacharya or sannyasi can't have sex. They have the option, but they don't use it. They could have sex as much as the next guy, but they don't think, no, let me have sex. They think, I'm not getting into that. So the freedom is there. Sannyasi can also have sex. Anyone can. But the sannyasi never thinks that, no, I'm going to have sex. Everyone else is having sex, let me also have sex. No. He has free choice. At any moment, he could say, okay, let me go out and find a girl. But he doesn't use that freedom that way. He doesn't misuse his freedom. No, I'm sannyasi, I'm not getting involved in that. So in the spiritual world, no one thinks, well, yeah, but what about enjoyment? Let me enjoy independently. No, they don't think that way.
They can if they want.
They can. Anyone can. But they don't misuse their independence. Therefore, they're called eternally liberated.
Does I understand? The Prabhupada told us about this, that we already were in that situation.
You'll never figure that out. There's no end to that. Therefore, we're called Anadi Bahir Mukti, conditioned since time immemorial. You'll never figure out this one. We're not even going to start.
What was the question?
Oh, it's the question. Who's asking? If we were in the spiritual world, how did we get the desire to come to the material world? You'll never figure it out. You have to speak triple loud because these guys are your competition.
I could ask you a question about the relevance of the Varnashram system concerning ISKCON's mission.
Concerning ISKCON what?
ISKCON's purpose.
Oh, wait, this way.
Ox carts are so much quieter.
Like, how is establishing Varnashrama relevant to ISKCON?
How is it relevant to ISKCON? Didn't we talk about that? It just creates a helpful environment. Our goal is not to practice Varnashrama. Our goal is to be Krishna conscious. But Varnashrama is favorable, that's all.
In terms of ISKCON's purpose, like, is it part of ISKCON's mission?
Our mission is Krishna consciousness. And Varnashram is helpful. Just like it's not our mission, vegetarianism. But part of our mission is that all of our men should be vegetarian. Why? Because that's part of Krishna consciousness. It's not that we're the vegetarian society.
It means it's automatically included.
It's included. In our program also, Varnashram is there, it's part of our program. But it's not an independent thing, that we just want to set up Varnashram. Our Varnashram is in the context of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the whole world starts following Varnashram, but nobody becomes Krishna conscious. We're not interested. Okay, we are going to take a 5-minute break, and then we're going to convene. Okay? End of chapter break. Not even 5 minutes.
2 minutes.
Isha, but you're always sleeping, right? What is this nonsense? What is this, Trisha? I'm always sleeping. Don't feel embarrassed, Trisha.
You're just reflecting, you're just showing everybody that you were right.
This is how?
But I was only having dreams.
Ginger.
Yeah, you only need a couple of minutes.
It's not gone.
Isha.
Huh?
No.
It's funny, you know, he was
bring it tomorrow. That one in the old edition.
He was saying that in the first one or whatever, they mess up these traverses.
Yeah, this one.
I look at them here, the meaning is exactly the same.
But is that the original one?
No, this is the most recent one. But I mean, at the beginning of Brahma's day, here you have again and again when Brahma's day arises.
Only in the original one.
Here you have all living entities become manifest from unmanifest. Here all living entities come into being.
For one,
and then it says, thereafter when night falls, they emerged into unmanifest, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they're annihilated.
Yeah.
The meaning is exactly the same.
But they just put the word for double, twice.
Yeah? I thought he said they put one translation.
Yeah, he wasn't sure about the purport.
He wasn't sure, but he said something with the purport.
I mean, it seems to me the translation is the same, just in different words.
Oh, you mean here? You mean even in the new one?
Hmm?
In the new one, you
see? Yeah. No, it's different.
There's two verses that mean more or less the same thing.
Yeah, right. The translations are different, but the meaning is the same.
I see.
Get that abridged version tomorrow. And look at it.
Which verse?
What was that verse?
Huh?
The verse that you quoted saying in Chinese.
Which verse in the first six chapter tell us that Varnashram dharma is not necessary for Bhakti Yoga?
You check Veda base, it's there.
Yeah, I'm just writing this.
No. He wants to know.
It's very interesting because
can you tell
me that? That rumor is like already for
Maharaj, Varnashram dharma means that a person should be suited to any varna. Yeah, he has to follow four varnas and four ashrams.
Can you just wait and just watch me?
I just want to know that Varnashram dharma means that a person, like if a brahmachari, then he has to follow grihastha also, vanprastha also, or sannyas, or he can be situated in one also.
He can remain in brahmachari for his whole life.
That is also called Varnashram.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go through the whole cycle. Generally, the vanaprastha life is there as a medium between before sannyas. But if you didn't become a grihastha, then you don't have to do anything else.
Able to find out which verse in this first six chapter tells us that Varnashram dharma is not necessary for Bhakti Yoga. In first six chapter, is there any verse which tells us that Varnashram dharma is not necessary for Bhakti Yoga?
In Bhagavad Gita?
No.
But for the written examination, we have to write one verse at least from the first six chapter.
In the purports, you'll find such verses. Don't ask me questions about how to pass your test. I don't care about that.
Like in 18th chapter, 66 verse, it is like something about Varnashram dharma.
I don't care about the test. Don't ask me questions about how to pass your test because I don't care about the test. I'm not interested in the test. Don't ask me questions about how you pass your test. I don't care. There are enough questions without those questions.
He just wants us to learn Bhagavad Gita, that's all.
Yeah, don't ask me, you know, how to answer your test questions. I'm just here. Okay, we're starting again, gang. Okay, we're starting again, Deepak. We're back in action. Now we're in the ninth chapter, beginning, and everything else is stopping, isn't it? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Idam tu te guhyatamam, pravakshyami anasuyave, gyanam vijnana sahitam, yajgatva mokshase ashubhat. Now I'm going to tell you something which is guhyatamam, the most confidential. We talked about that before. There's positive, comparative, and superlative. So when guhyatamam, superlative, most confidential. We've talked about confidential knowledge. We've talked that you're not this body, you're spirit, soul. Other topics have been discussed. But now Krishna says, I'm going to speak to you the most confidential knowledge. That means devotional service. Idam here means the knowledge of devotional service, which is more confidential than other topics. Why? Because manusyanam sahasreshu, out of thousands, hardly one attains perfection. And out of thousands of them, hardly anyone. And why will I explain this? Anasuyave, because you're not envious. A person who's envious, he's not, if you're envious of me, why I'm going to, I'm not going to tell you my secrets if you're envious of me. You'll use it, you'll misuse it.
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing. The whole problem of the living entities is that we're envious. You know, why should Krishna have all those gopis? Why should Krishna be in charge of everything? Why should Krishna be independent? Why should Krishna, be the most beautiful? Why should he be the most famous? Why should he be the most wise? Why everything for him? What about me? Something like the feminist movement. Why should the men? Why should the man always be in charge? Why should the man always call the shots? Why should the man always be, why do we have to serve the husband? Why? What about the husband serving me? What about the it's like,
yeah,
envious.
After they taste it.
Huh?
After they taste it, so they want to go back to like.
Yeah, then maybe that's also there. That, whoa. Now that I'm independent, that's worse. Or else they just never figure that out. They just think, well, we made it. Maybe we're suffering, but we're independent. So we're in that position where it's, well, I'm suffering, but I'm independent. That's called illusion.
So the jivas in whichever are like the members of the Jiva Liberation Movement?
Yeah, the Jiva Liberation Movement. We're going to be independent. Or the senses liberation movement, where the senses say, we're not going to first serve the stomach. What is the stomach doing? It's just sitting there, doing nothing, and it gets all the food. And we do all the work. The eyes got to find out where it is. The ears got to listen for the lunch bell. The hands have to pick it up. The legs have to go to the place. We're doing all the work, and the stomach is getting all the food. This is unfair. We're going on strike.
Yeah. everyone's a loser.
Because they're envious. Then what happens, of course, you know, that all the senses get weak and they have another meeting and they say, well...
Let us be united.
Let's take off.
So our position is like that, that we've declared independence, but we're suffering. But we still haven't got it, you know, we still haven't figured out that maybe this isn't such a good idea. And now we're trying to come to our proper understanding that no, independence is not a good proposal. We're meant to be dependent on Krishna, we're meant to serve Krishna, then we'll also be happy. Praharshi Ishyami Sanatha Jivita. We'll be happy when we are engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. Just like a dog is happy when it has a master. Otherwise he's a street dog. He's not going to be very, very happy. So, Arjun, you're not envious. Anasuya. Very important qualification. Yes.
How do we deal with envy?
How do you deal with envy? We try to purify our hearts. The chanting is there to purify the heart. The practice of serving the spiritual master is there to purify the heart. The getting freedom from this envy belongs to passion and ignorance. So as we wash away passion and ignorance, then in goodness there's not this kind of envy. And in pure goodness, no envy. Therefore, if we're envious of others, even Vaishnava, one of his qualities is not envious. Why should I be envious of you and your beautiful wife? I happen to know that these beautiful wives are Maya, that they're, you know, a source of entanglement. So why should I envy you, your beautiful wife, who's really just a bag of mucus, bile, and air, you know, with some skin on top and all the rest of this stuff? Why should I envy you, your, you know, million-dollar mansion, when I know that you're always in anxiety about who's going to break into your mansion, how you're going to do this, how you're going to do that, maintaining your establishment, making sure none of your competitors come out on top, da 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 da, and you're going to die and be a rat next life in your little in your big mansion. Why should I envy you? Why should I envy you all these followers who are, you know, telling you how great you are so that you become puffed up and bewildered? Oh, you're so wonderful, you're so great, everything you do is fantastic, we love you, we love you. Why should I envy you that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nadanam najanam na sundarim ba kavitam ba jagadisha kanda. I don't want any of that. Why should I envy you your impersonal realization of how you're one with God? Kaivalyam Narakayate, it's hellish. Oh, Krishna conscious person, he's not envious. He's not envious that this devotee is a big devotee and I'm only a small devotee. He's not envious that this person got to do that, but why didn't I get to do that? He cultivates. No, it's nice. If the other Vaishnavas are doing something to please Krishna, then I should be happy. It's cultivating, not that. Envy, Prabhupada said, means that someone else is going ahead and you're unhappy about it. That's envy. Just, what is that? They say that the crabs, if you put all these crabs in a container, none of them will ever escape, because as soon as one tries to get up, the others will all drag them down. So a devotee is not like that. You know, materially speaking, since everything is relative, if I can drag you down, then my position is improved. And if you go up, my position is diminished. So I should make sure you don't go up, otherwise my position is being diminished. I should keep you down. That's good. If I can go up myself, that's good, but you shouldn't go up. That's the material competitive mentality. But the spiritual competitive mentality is, if someone else goes up, I'm happy. If someone else goes up in the service of Krishna, then I'm happy. And if I can help him also, then I'm happy. That's the non-envious mentality. And in the 12th chapter we'll find that these are the natural qualities of the devotee. He's not envious of anyone. Lokanam hitakarino. What is that?
Lokanam hitakarino.
Then? Krishna kirtana ganana tanaparo. No, nirmatsara pujita. Nirmatsara means not envious. Matsara is another way of saying envy. The nirmatsara. He's not envious. Nirmatsaranam satam. And because they're not envious, pujita, they're worshipable by everyone. Yes.
How do you call it opposite of envy?
Opposite of envy?
Appreciative.
Appreciative, yeah. I don't know, you know, an exact antonym.
Admirative.
But if someone's
not for that,
if we appreciative.
But a non-devotee, is there a difference between love and between ignorance and envy? Because some of them don't even know there's a god; they don't even know who God is.
Well, ignorance means not knowing something, and envious means being like, if I didn't know that you were promoted, I wouldn't be envious of you for your promotion. But in the mode of ignorance, tamagun, envy is a standard feature.
It's the same thing as ignorance.
Tamagun. There are two kinds of ignorance. Ignorance not knowing, and ignorance the mode of ignorance. In the mode of ignorance, this envy is standard fare.
So in subconscious.
It's right there. When you're in tamagun and rajagun, then envy will be there for sure. Yes? Attachment, envy.
Yeah, it's all.
Kam, krodh, lobh, mada, matsarya. These all are all part of material contamination. Lust, anger, kam, krodh, lobh, greed, madness. Matsarya means envy, illusion. These are all there. Quite a crew.
There seems to be another meaning in the expression, I envy you, could you please tell me how I can also get there, like you did?
Yeah, again, this is like an English linguistics question. Yeah. Can we skip the English linguistic questions? Don't mind, yes?
Envy is just appreciation turned inside out. I see you better than me.
Yeah, appreciation is like envy turned inside out, and vice versa. Envy is appreciation turned inside out. Prabhupada gave another story indicating what envy is. Then someone was told that two lawyers were discussing, and one said, you know, Mukherjee has been promoted to the high court bench. And the other lawyer says, Mukherjee? Him? Not possible. That guy? That jerk, he's been in priest. No, I've seen it. It's true. He's sitting on the bench. Then he must not be getting paid.
Yes. Yes, the one side, Prabhupada talk about, you know, envy, like proper envy, and also just ridiculous envy. One was like, if there are two powerful men, and one is envious of each other, but they are both powerful. But if someone is envious, an insignificant person is envious of a very big, powerful person, which he can never become, that's ridiculous.
Of course, they're both ridiculous. The mouse who wants to become a lion, he's really ridiculous. And the lion who wants to become the top lion, he's foolish also, because what's the use of being the top lion? Top lion, bottom lion, we're all going to die. So just one is ridiculous in such a way that everybody can see, and the other is ridiculous in such a way that only the intelligent will see. But they're both ridiculous, actually.
And we want to be Christian.
Anyone who in this material world, yeah, anyone in this material world, right, anyone who wants to be Krishna, he's ridiculous. Like Pondraka.
Fake arms.
You know, a couple extra arms and you're Vishnu. Just, everybody just laughed at him. He was so ridiculous.
I can't understand how that went by.
It didn't.
but he had people around him, and they...
Yeah, well, how does, you know, not to mention any names, but all these ridiculous so-called yogis and gods, how do you know, like we had in America this guy who's like a kid, and he's claiming that he's God. And his mother said yes, that he's God. It was such a ridiculous thing. He was called, what was it? Guru Maharaj Ji. And his mother was called Mata Ji, and his brother was called Bai Ji, and his followers were called Premis. And you got initiation from him, and you would see the light, and you would taste the nectar, and you would hear the music. Now, isn't that ridiculous? But thousands and thousands of people thought, this is it. This is it. I've seen the light. I've tasted the nectar. I've heard the music. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
What light did you see?
And then the... Then the young boy who was God was busted by the Indian government for smuggling gold. And then things got worse. He fell in love with some Western girl. And his mother, you know, issued a correction that no, actually his brother is the one who's really it.
Just keep giving us money.
And then they finally, the end of them was that they announced this huge program. They rented the Houston Stadium, Astrodome. And it was all going to happen. You know, there was going to be like some huge, you know, change in consciousness. The world was going to, you know, it was like going to be, I don't know what was supposed to happen, where the angels were supposed to descend, or the Gandharvas were all supposed to assemble, or, you know, light was supposed to stream forth from, you know, I don't know what was supposed to happen, but they were all hyped up, like, it is going to happen. It's all going to happen tonight at the Astrodome, and nothing happened. Like the air being let out of your balloon. The whole thing was a fizzle. And everyone was disillusioned. Wow, we thought it was all supposed to happen.
He's like disappeared now, isn't he?
Yeah, it's like, you know, he came and went. But, you know, wasn't it ridiculous? We thought at the time that it was ridiculous. We saw how ridiculous it was. And they didn't get it.
Yeah.
There's another group. They're a little more current. You know, they're just like an ISKCON knockoff. International Society for. And then they leave out Krishna and they have something else. Divine love or divine consciousness, you know. And the same thing, that their guru is like, whoa, 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 whoa. And they're, you know, they develop love and, you know, they don't bother reading the books because books are like, Guruji tells us you don't need the book. You know, it's like, wow, people are going to take these people seriously? Yes.
Yes.
There was a circus promoter in America called P.T. Barnum.
Yeah.
He's the most famous circus. Still, the name is there, like Barnum and Bailey Circus. And I'm not sure whether he said it, but he's supposed to have said, there's a sucker born every minute.
Yeah, sucker born every minute.
So whether he said it or not, it's true. Anyone who takes birth is a sucker. If you weren't a sucker, you wouldn't have taken birth. All right, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Maharaj.
Oh, I don't know.
Sucker? A sucker is a person who's
gullible.
Who'll buy the Brooklyn Bridge from you.
an idiot.
Not just an idiot, but a person who's easily allured by a false... a false promise or a cheating deal. That's a sucker. Who'll believe anything. So the expression is to sell someone the Brooklyn Bridge. If I sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, you know, are you going to buy it? You know, $10,000 when I sell you the Brooklyn Bridge? Anyone who would is a sucker. That's the meaning of sucker.
There was actually somebody who sold the Eiffel Tower. You know, he'd said that they're going to dismantle it, and you can buy the metal.
The pieces, and you can put it
sold,
up again.
He sold some company all of the metal. You know, they paid him.
There are suckers all over the place.
And then the guy runs away.
The world is not short on suckers.
Or liars.
That's a true story?
Yeah.
You heard it from...
He did it several times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I want to sell you guys the
wine. There's another place in, like, America, this guy...
Square button.